May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 708. As when a child, secure of harms, hangs at the mother's breast, safe folded in her anxious arms, receiving food and rest. Hymn 708.
Thank you.
Our reading from God's holy word is from the epistle of Paul to the Colossians, chapter 1. Paul's epistle to the Colossians, chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which he hath to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labour, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Amen. May the Lord bless his word and help Benji to pray.
Oh Lord, do come now and grant us that right spirit, that true prayer, indicted by thy Holy Spirit, and teach us how to pray. O Lord, we need thee to come now and enable us to seek thee, to look to thee and confess our sins and seek thy mercy. Lord, we come as poor undone sinners, desiring to truly confess our sins with that humble reverence before thee. For Lord, we feel so full of unbelief, so much coldness and hardness toward thee. We do pray that thou wilt work in our hearts and draw us unto thee by thy love. Oh, that thou wilt come and take away that stony heart and grant us that heart of flesh, that we might truly come seeking our all in thee and what thou hast done. For, O Lord Jesus, it is thy work and thine alone. O do grant us then that true and living faith in our hearts to come unto thee, believing that thou canst do all things, that thou alone canst save us from our sins. O Lord, do help us then to truly trust in thee and seek thy mercy. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt work in each heart and bring each one to truly know thee. For there is but one thing needful, and Lord, may we each be enabled to truly find it, that we might come in with Mary and choose that good part. O Lord, do help us then to trust in thy name, knowing that thou alone canst save us from our sins. Oh, to know that thou art our Saviour and our Redeemer. Oh Lord, thou hast helped us hitherto and brought us each through, even in the things of time. And Lord, we look to thee to remember us each still. But oh Lord, we pray that thou wilt sanctify our various trials, mercies and blessings to our eternal good, and that we might be enabled to praise and honour thee. O Lord, help us then to seek thee aright, Go before us each and be with us still. O Lord, we pray that thou remember those in various troubles and difficulties even of the last week, and Lord, that thou wilt grant thy healing mercies to each one. O Lord, thou hast granted Oliver much mercy, and Lord, we would desire to truly remember it, and that thou wilt go on and grant that healing if it can be thy will. Jonathan also we commend into thy care, that thou wilt help and strengthen him and bring him through this difficult time. Lord, we pray that thou wilt also remember that babe born amongst us, O Lord, and that thou wilt remember mother and baby, that thou wilt give them both all needed help and strength, and be with them each. Bring them through, O Lord, that thou wilt bring each one to truly praise thy name, to give thee all the honour and all the glory. Have mercy on them each, and go before them. O Lord, and we do desire to bring our country and our nation before thee, that thou wilt have mercy still. Lord, wickedness runs down our streets, and we have to truly confess the evils of this present day, which grow worse and worse. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt turn us, that thou wilt grant that thy word might be made powerful, that there might be that turning again unto thee. Remember our rulers, O go before them, Lord, and put thy word in their hearts. O that there might be some in high places that truly fear thy name, that look to thee for all needed wisdom. For, O Lord, how ignorant we each are without thee. O leave us not to ourselves. Open our eyes to see our need of these great things. O Lord, we remember our Queen before thee, that thou wilt have mercy upon her, and that thou wilt grant her thy blessing, that she might truly know thee. Lord, nothing is too hard for thee. We do then pray that thou wilt give us that faith to truly believe it. We desire to remember then each case found in thy house this day before thee, that thou wilt enable each one to bring it unto Jesus and to seek thy help and thy mercy. O Lord, that we each might be enabled to say, thy will be done. O left to ourselves, how far off from such we are, and we want our own will. O Lord, do help us then to be submissive unto thee, to seek thy mercy still. Guide our steps aright then in all the things of time, looking unto Jesus. O Lord, and we pray then that thou wilt use thy servants as they come here week by week, the ministry of thy word, make it powerful, make it effectual in the hearts of sinners, that there might be those that can come and truly rejoice in thy name. O Lord, we pray then that thou wilt give each one of thy servants that message to deliver and make them faithful servants in thy message. Remember thy servant we expect this evening. Do help and strengthen him. Bring him in peace and safety. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt open his mouth and that there might be that good thing done in thy name. O help us to truly seek these great things. We pray then that thou wilt build up this church here, that there might be that increase, that true prosperity in thy name. O Lord, and we pray that thou wilt teach us how to pray regarding a pastor for this cause. Thou knowest our need, thou knowest thy word, and we pray that thou wilt guide us aright, that we might seek that thy will might be done. O Lord, and if it's by thy will, give us that true and fervent prayer for to seek a true pastor after thine own heart. Lord, one from thee, leave us not then to ourselves, but enable us to seek thee aright for these things. And we do pray then, as we remember thy people round this globe, O Lord, the many persecuted Christians, we would bring them before thee once more, that thou would remember them, and that thou wilt give all needed help and strength, that thou wilt enable them to stand firm in thy truth. It is alone by thy power and thine alone. O Lord, have mercy on us. Go before us now through this service. We do pray that thou wilt be with our brother and help him to read that which was preached in time past, and that thou wilt make it truly a word in season to one and another. O Lord, do be with us and do help us. And we pray that thou wilt remember our friends turned in with us this morning, and that thou wilt grant a true blessing from thee, O Lord, that they might truly praise thy name for all that thou hast done. Go before us each now, remember us in mercy, keep us in that right way, and leave us not to wander. For, Lord, we have a heart that quickly turns away from thy ways, very easily turns into bypath meadow. But, O Lord, we pray that thou wilt keep us each and keep us out of that doubting castle. O, grant us then faith to trust thee, seek thee for all things. Have mercy on us now. Be with us and use thy word. Forgive us now all our sins for thy great name's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 174. Jesus is precious, says the word. What comfort does this truth afford? And those who in his name believe, with joy this precious truth receive. Hymn 174. Thank you. try and read to you a sermon preached by Mr. Popham. You will find the words of the text in the chapter we read, the first epistle of Paul to the Colossians, chapter 1 and verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. The first epistle of Paul to the Colossians, chapter 1, verse 19. It pleased God to give the Apostle Paul a very large understanding and deep and powerful experience in and of the person of Jesus Christ. Hence, by inspiration of the Spirit, the warm expressions he uses concerning Christ, heaping word on word to express the excellencies and the beauties and the sufficiency of the Son of God, the Saviour of the Church. He gives thanks here unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Adam had the fullness of all human excellency and perfection, and he lost it, and there is nothing of the kind left. Man that is abominable is God's word concerning us. Feet swift to shed blood, throat an open sepulchre, eyes full of adulteries, and heart only enmity against God. If we quarrel with this description of man, it is because we are dead and ignorant. But if we believe it and feel it, if it is a cross, a daily trouble, if we are again and again led by the Spirit of Christ to him, then our emptiness of God and fullness of ill will not press us into despair, because there will be open to the view of a God-given faith the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He meets every case. He visits sinners. He speaks comfortably to their hearts. He lures them into the wilderness. He is a wonderful Saviour, and by moments the saints of the Most High God get glimpses of him, and these glimpses make them feel that they want to know him more, to live in the Son of righteousness, to walk in the light, to breathe his life, to be animated by his Spirit, and to walk in the clean, holy fear of God all the day long. Every newborn sinner sings sincerely and sometimes very heartily, "None but Jesus can do helpless sinners good." Christ has said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. And if we escape that, then we shall miss his peace. You won't escape trouble, but you may escape tribulation. The two things are distinct in the scriptures. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. That is universally true. Nobody escapes it entirely. There is no man in this world who absolutely escapes trouble, but only comparatively few have tribulation. Oh, if your trouble never separates one bit of chaff from you, then you have no grace. But if your trouble, common to many people about you, is sanctified, then it is to you tribulation, to be followed by peace. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And these exercises, this tribulation, emptying, weakening, trying and testing, will bring the Lord's people sooner or later in the light and the teaching of the Spirit to value this great word concerning the Lord Jesus. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. There are two heads in the scripture, two heads of two families, Adam and Christ. The first man of the earth, earthy. The second man, the Lord from heaven. And the second man is the man, the God-man of the text. We need this fullness. We need it. All do not feel their need of it, but it is a needful fullness, and I would, if help, just try to set a little of this before you. It will surely edify you if the Spirit is with it, whatever I may be able to say. There is first of all this, that the God-man, Jesus Christ, has all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It is the first in the effect and first in importance. If the Holy Ghost gives to us an apprehension of the eternal deity of the Son of God incarnate, we shall find there the Rock of Ages. None can save a lost soul but the God-man, Jesus Christ. None could bear all that sin of the whole church but the man who has in himself the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Hold fast this. If you have got what the Apostle John says in his first epistle, may the Lord help you to highly prize it and hold it fast. We know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Keep yourselves from the many Christs that are preached and will be preached with a low here and low there. and keep close, as God may help you, to that one person, the Son of God. Not a phantom, not an appearance, but a real person. Oh, what a mercy it is that the Lord Jesus Christ is very God, very man, one person, and this pleased the Father. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. But you will find that there is a fight in this matter, as it were. You have to fight your way to him through the unbelief and the enmity and ignorance and the pride and the legality of nature. Oh, it is not an easy thing to reach this, nor to stand by this. As the devil sought to destroy the young child's life when he was an infant, so now and ever since the Lord Jesus came, and before he came in the flesh, the devil has sought to destroy him in the hearts of all believers. We shall not escape these efforts of the devil if Christ be born in us, and if we believe him to be the God of all grace, if we believe him to be the only begotten Son of God, incarnate. I say, we shall not go free from these powerful enemies and temptations. That will make it a hard thing to get to him, and hard to abide in him. It pleased the Father that all the fullness of human perfection should be in the man Christ Jesus. I ventured to say last Lord's Day that God would never accept anything but perfection, and the man Christ Jesus must have all that human perfection that God requires in men who shall be in heaven. The Lord Jesus is the representative of his people, and if they are to be perfect, it must be in him. Hence the greatness of Paul's word to the Ephesians, accepted in the Beloved. Oh, my friends, we are a mass of imperfection, and the eye of faith must be directed by the Spirit to that perfection that is in the man Christ Jesus. He stands before God for his people. He stands as their perfection. In him they are accepted. By him they are redeemed from their abominable wickedness. And eventually he will change their vile body, the body of their humiliation, and fashion it like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Now, if we are favoured to get a view of this by faith, it will keep us from despairing of heaven. It will keep us from despairing of getting honourably to the grave. It will keep us from legality, a striving to mend a bad case, and to empty a wicked heart of its wickedness. Oh, it will keep a man on his knees, with his eyes set on God, and enable him, constrain him at times to say, "My heart is fixed on God. My heart is fixed, fixed here." One says, and we sing sometimes, "Fix there my heart, and for the rest, under thy forming hand, my God, give me that frame that thou likest best." For it pleased the Father Now what pleases God the Father respecting Christ must be pleasing to all Christ's people. If you are not pleased with this, you are dead. If you are alive, you are pleased with this. God's arrangement. God putting everything that you need in his Son. Giving him life that he may give it to you. Giving him grace that he may impart it to you. Giving him a commandment to die, that he, dying your death, you may live in him and by him. You will be pleased with it. Oh, sometimes it will warm your heart. It won't leave a bit of ice or coldness for the time being when you see what Christ is made by his Father to be. Do you feel pleased with him by the moment? Now and again a sinner says, I am pleased with him. I am pleased with the Father's arrangement, with the Father's gift, with the Father's setting up this Lord Jesus to be a glorious high throne from the beginning, the place of our sanctuary. Now I believe that as we get older and get nearer to eternity, this will be increasingly made known, so that a sinner, when fainting heart and flesh fail, will be enabled again and again to say, God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. God, the God-man, the blessed Lord Jesus. And we shall not wonder at the ascriptions of praise and honour and glory and blessing and power and dominion that the Scriptures give. Oh, from Genesis to Revelation, all the praises of God and the praise of the Church are brought to the Lord Jesus. This is my beloved Son. I have set my King on my holy hill. I have given him for a covenant of the people. I have laid a commandment on him to die the death of the guilty, that they may live that blessed life of his which he freely imparts to them. Honours rest on him. Why, it has occasionally been a very sweet employment to some of us to sing that hymn of Gadsby, Immortal honours rest on Jesus' head. It is not an evil thing to find your own imagined honour laid in the dust. Your honour, as you imagine it, and Christ's honour will never live together. They won't both occupy the same throne. Down and lower and deeper you have to go, then higher and higher does he in your heart's esteem as he is made known by the Holy Ghost. None but Jesus. Well, this excellency of his person is a fitness for his work. But for what he is as a person, he could not have done what he did. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness, all merit dwell. No merit in us, but all in him. This part of the gospel is very wonderful to a sinner who has evidence of his sin and of the demerit of his nature. It is a good thing when we really are convinced of the depravity of our nature. You cannot exaggerate the sinfulness of your life. But you may be so occupied with that as to forget for the time that the sinfulness of your life arises from the depravity of your nature. This depravity must be met, as well as all the sins that you commit. This depravity must be washed away, as any evil thought that you think, or any wrong thing that you do, or any lie that you speak. We are depraved. We are born in sin. It is an evil fountain, a corrupt spring in our nature. It is said that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I wonder how many of you really believe by the teaching of the Spirit in the utter depravity of your nature. A good deal of natural conviction may be, and many a person under natural conviction may wish he had not done this and that. Oh, if I had not told that lie. And yet that person may never get a sight of the depravity of his nature. Then, if that is so, the confession of sin is short. Repentance is short, legal. And then the fullness of infinite merit in Jesus Christ is not appreciated. But if we come to know that we are depraved, that we could as soon create a world as make our nature pure, if we are brought to that, then we shall come to this, to see with unspeakable delight the infinite merit of the Lord Jesus. That word in Zechariah will thus get much importance in our heart. In that day there shall be opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem a fountain opened for sin and for uncleanness. Opened for all cases of separation between God and the soul. It is no easy thing to be a Christian, but he is a good Christian man who, convinced of the depravity of his nature, as well as the wickedness of his life, is brought to this wondrous fountain of goodness, the Lord Jesus Christ. I cannot preach an easy religion, but I can preach a good one. I must preach about man's badness, but I can preach sometimes just a little about the infinite fullness of the Saviour's merit. Would you get to heaven? This is the way. Would you be clean? This is how you must be. Would you be holy? None but Christ can make you holy. Would you be near to God? Only in him can you be so. Christ has all merit, infinite merit. Look to him. Plead it when you go before God. If you are ashamed of yourself, that is a good thing. Then being ashamed of yourself, you are in a capacity to enter into that word in the Psalms. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Did you ever realize it for a minute? Their faces were not ashamed. When you cannot look at yourself, you cannot look at any single day of your life, nor any hour of your life, without perceiving something wrong. Something which, if a fellow creature knew, you would find yourself shunned. Yet with all that, to be not ashamed before God. Very wonderful. You will need strong faith to bring you to that. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Well, all forgiveness of sin in the fullness of it is in him. It pleased the Father that the fullness of forgiveness is and should ever dwell in him. It was an offence when he said to a man in the days of his flesh, "Thy sins be forgiven." He said, "You shall know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin." Oh, what a wonder! Forgiveness is the act of God passed on a sinner. The sinner cannot forgive himself. Many a legalist, many a hypocrite will wipe his mouth and say, "It is naught, it is naught." But a saint says, "Pardon mine iniquity, O Lord, for it is great." His sentence must come from God's presence, and that is it that so endears the Saviour and makes a sinner so happy in his soul that occasionally he finds the sin of his nature and the sins of his life blotted out. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. That will make death a gain. That will and does cheer the heart sometimes. That makes the sinner secure and holy and happy. For the forgiveness of sins not only secures the sinner from punishment, but it makes him a holy person. And a wonderful thing it is to be holy, and yet to carry about in your pain sense of it a body of sin and death all your life. It pleased the Father that all the fullness of forgiveness should dwell in Jesus Christ. Look to him, my friends. If you have got sin that you cannot excuse, and you will never excuse sin if you have got grace, you may one day, oh that it may be even now, find that what you could not excuse, Christ has given. Self-excuses never go well. Confession of sin goes well with God. Only acknowledge thine iniquity. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy. Whoso hideth his sin shall not prosper. Go on confessing. It will answer the purpose that God has ordained it for. Go on confessing. Well, it is a wonderful thing. Nay, there is singular liberty sometimes in this, and a peculiar sweetness in it, when instead of trying to put your hand over your sin to hide it like the fool, you are enabled by grace just to express it in groans and sighs, and spread it out before the Lord in the malignity of it. Oh, the turpitude of that act! Oh, the wickedness of that thought! And these things you do not hide, but express in confession. And the Lord says, "Thou shalt not die. The Lord hath put away thy sin." But David said he should die, and God just put that away. Conviction of sin when working alone will always have that effect. It will work wrong conclusions. But mercifully, God disallows the conclusions. No, he never contradicts the confession. You will never find nor hear God saying to you, you are exaggerating the case when confessing your sins. But when you say, I shall die, he may say, I have put away all your sin. You shall not die. Then you will praise him. It hath pleased the Father that all the fullness of the necessary help and wisdom and guidance and protection should dwell in Christ. I have given him for a leader and commander of the people. He is anointed to preach good tidings to the meek, to bind up the brokenhearted. He is anointed to be a covenant to the people, a light to the Gentiles. He comes in an acceptable year of the Lord to poor sinners, and he says to them, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved, for I am God, and beside me there is no Saviour. I will save you from your difficulties, and from your despairing thoughts, and from your pursuing and relentless enemy, and I will save you from the consequences of your ignorance, even if you take wrong steps, and I will save you when you drink down some poison, for I am God, and beside me there is no Saviour. He not only saves from hell, but he saves from the paw of the lion. The good and great shepherd comes and says, now the lion has taken a piece of an ear and a leg, and I will just take that piece of an ear and that leg out of his mouth. Is not it wonderful how God puts broken people right and mends them again and again? If he would not let the high priest's servant suffer when Peter cut off his right ear, he won't let a poor child of his suffer when tempted and wounded and maimed by the devil and by sin. You say, I have lost something. He will make it up. If you have lost an ear, he will take it out of the mouth of the lion. If you have lost the leg of godly walking, he will take that leg out of the mouth of the lion. Such a saviour he is. Oh, the fullness of the Lord Jesus. I have had a little experience of this over many years. What a saviour he is. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. A beautiful type of him is Joshua. He led the people into Canaan. Moses could not. God said to Moses, you shall not lead the people into the land of promise. You are the law. Now the gospel must lead them into the land of Canaan. So Joshua, a saviour, is raised up to lead them. He leads them. They enter into rest when he leads them. He putteth forth his own sheep, and he goeth before them. Such a saviour it pleased God to constitute him. Thus I have given him for a leader. I have given him for a covenant. And he put in him with infinite pleasure all that was necessary for this mighty business. For it is a business to take a sinner out of the belly of hell, the hell of his own sin and the burning of the law, and land him in heaven. It is a business. Who is sufficient for it but Christ? Who has grace enough but Christ? The Apostle Paul says to Timothy that Christ hath saved. God hath saved. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Well, this is wonderful. If I do, and I do believe I shall get to heaven, I shall see him there, upon whom occasionally the eye of faith in my heart has been cast and fixed. And then all of you who get there will see him without what Erskine calls the weary veil of the flesh between, with no cloud of sin, no dismal fear, no depressing trial, but just always and only and eternally in his blessed bliss giving presence. In his blessed bliss giving presence. It pleased the Father with an infinite pleasure. Having chosen the church in Christ, he gave to his beloved Son everything that was necessary in this respect. The equal of the Father is the Father's servant. In this respect, God, as it were, says to him, "Now all these poor people you are to save, all these poor sheep you are to look after will need much. I put it all in you to supply them." He trusted Adam with a stock of goodness, and Adam soon spent it up, and he has never trusted a poor, fallen, corrupt sinner since. But he put everything in his beloved Son. Well, we must be dependents on the bounty of Christ. Happy man who is willing to be a dependent on the bounty of Christ. Then there are some happy men here, are there not? Blessed be God, we have been made willing in the day of Christ's power. He has enough for us. Faith must be strong to believe this. "Oh," said Moses to God, "if all the cattle and all the fowl and all the fishes of the whole world were brought here, would they suffice this nation for a moment?" Moses' faith was not strong enough to go beyond a month. But the faith which God gives to sinners in the person of the Lord Jesus will now and again see enough in Christ for eternity, enough righteousness to justify, enough merit to sanctify, enough power to save, enough wisdom to guide, enough patience to bear all the waywardness of wayward people. He well is called the God of patience. Who but a God of patience could undertake to bear with the wanderings, the inconsistencies of sinners, to whom so much mercy and love has been shown? Well, I am pleased with this Christ, and so are some of you. What a mercy! Think of the goodness of God in putting our hearts straight with his pleasure, that what pleases him also pleases us. It is wonderful. Would you have it otherwise? "No," says an affectionate, believing heart. "No, I have plenty of evil, but that is not part of it. I am pleased with this." And thus we begin the lasting song. Thus we begin to love the Lord and do what heart says. I do like that word of heart. Close in with Christ by saving faith, and God's your friend forever. One says, I wish I could close in with him. When he comes near enough to you, you will. When he comes and says, behold me, behold me. And the Holy Spirit bears witness that that is the very Christ of God. Then, to use Flavor's word, the little weak arms of your faith will open and embrace this Lord Jesus. And you will say, there is none like him in heaven. Whom have I in heaven but thee? None like him on earth. There is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. I must leave it. Living tongues are dumb at best, and my tongue never speaks well enough of him, and I expect never will. May the Lord speak to our hearts by his Spirit of this divine person, God-man, Jesus Christ, that we may receive him and love him and walk with him in white. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day, which were for Christian concern, amounted to £870, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Izzard is expected to preach this evening, and our Thanksgiving services next Saturday in the afternoon at 3 and in the evening at 6:15, when Mr. Gerald Buss is expected to preach and tea will be provided. And the collections next at this Thanksgiving service will be for the Oakington Chapel Repair Fund, and Mr. Buss is also expected to preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday School. Let us now close with hymn 906. Oh, where shall I find a guide to direct, right skillful and kind and brave to protect? To lovely Mount Zion my heart is now bound, but many a lion is in the way found. 906.
Thank you. Thank you.